I've learned over the years that if you really want to bore congregation, you start talking about military battles and fights and statistics. I've tried it before, and I about put everybody to sleep. And I could tell you about my trip to Gettysburg. I've been to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a few times. And before I went, as you can imagine, loving history, I read a couple books on the Battle of Gettysburg. I took notes and I watched the movie, and I had it all written out, where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do, and I got out and I walked the battlefield just like the soldiers did. It was a wonderful thing, but if you're not into history, that is going to bore you to death, because history can be boring, but especially military history. And just talking about the military can be offensive to people. Because after all, you're supposed to be intelligent and sensible, and you should not be discussing such things as the military in church. And in fact, 1986, the United Methodist, one of their committees, decided that they were going to throw out a couple of hymns because they were too militaristic and they exalted people to battle. And so I thought I would be really controversial today. I'm going to sing the chorus of one of these. I want to prepare you now for this hymn, because this could really be offensive to you today. Okay, this could be upsetting. So I want to prepare you for this. This is the offensive hymn. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Did you survive that all right? Yeah. Well, I don't think a lot of people listen to that recommendation by the committee. But there is people that are offended by the idea of mentioning the military today. Not that we even sing hymns very much anymore, but it's the idea that you should not talk about it. But to be honest with you, it's kind of hard to get away from the military today, because it's all over the news. And, you know, we heard, remember, during the inauguration, they kept telling us that they were ready for a big attack. And so we brought 26,000 National Guard troops into Washington, D.C. And they turned Washington, D.C., and it's still that way today. It is a militarized zone in Washington, D.C. They have barriers, they have barbed wire up everywhere, and they were ready for an attack. Do you remember this? Everybody was ready. It was a big day for an attack. And what happened? Nothing. Well, it's still a militarized zone. Do you remember there used to be days when you could go to like Washington, D.C. as a private citizen to walk around and enjoy? Well, that's changed. And there's no idea. They're not going to tell you when these military barriers are going to come down. Okay? But the idea is it's supposed to be intelligence. Right now there's 5,000, about 5,000 National Guard troops still there. Still there. Well, this is making people feel uneasy today. And we've had an uneasy couple years. Back in 2020, we had record people buying guns and ammo. We set records because of this. Why? Because people are uneasy. People don't really feel secure. And so has all the survival food. People, I've heard from many sources that you should have survival food. You should have a 30-day supply of survival food. You should have walkie-talkies, not only a generator, and you should be prepared. And I'm not going to tell people not to be prepared. So however you want to be prepared is fine. But this is the idea. This is what's happening. Well, today I'm not going to talk about a military battle, but I'm going to talk about a spiritual battle. And that's where we're going to be looking as we, actually today we're going to finish up Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that Paul mentions, and he uses military imagery. It's one of the most popular of all the scriptures. And so we're going to be talking about military items today. And I have every right to do it because the Bible talks about it. So today, I'm going to be talking about the personal spiritual battle that we have. Because what the devil has done is he has got us to look away from the Bible. And what happens, the personal battle that we're all in, and he's gotten us to look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., okay? What we have to do is look at our personal spiritual battle. So it's okay to be informed, but we can't let it distract us. So today, as we look at our personal spiritual battle, I want to look at three essentials that we need to know if we're going to win our daily spiritual battle. The first essential, we must know our strength. So I want to encourage you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to be reading this chapter, the first part of it. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So where is our strength? It's not in ourselves. It's not in our knowledge. It's not in our preparation. We are strong because it says in the Lord and in His mighty power. His power, His strength. Now, we're living right now at a time, and it's not like the Jews that were waiting for the Messiah to come. And they wanted this Messiah to be a military Messiah, to come in and destroy Rome, who was occupying their country. They were seeking this great military leader, and Jesus came. And how did He come? He came in weakness and humility, teaching people to follow Him. Now, He had all authority, He had all power, but He had a bigger plan. It wasn't a military plan. In fact, they put Jesus to death. In Ephesians 1, 18, or 19 and 20, it says God's great power raised Jesus from the dead. So the victory was on the cross. And from that moment, the victory was won. So right now, the devil is living on borrowed time. Revelation 20, verse 7 says Satan is released into the world and he's allowed to deceive the nations. I think, my personal opinion, that is the time we're living in right now. Satan is being allowed to deceive the nations. But as we read that chapter, it's only for a short time. Because in verse 10, it says Satan ends up condemned and defeated. So all the stuff that we're going through right now in our country, it's short term. So be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. God has the power. It's not us. And it reminds me of a scripture that most people have probably committed to memory, although we don't always live it. And I want you to say it with me. This is from Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we must know that our strength is not in us, it is in the Lord. So how do we win our daily spiritual battle? The second essential, we must know who we are fighting. So look at verses 11 and 12. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're told to put on the full armor so that we can take our stand against who? The devil's schemes. Our enemy is real. He is a personal foe. The devil is using all kinds of strategies to try to stop us and to try to stop the church. The book of Ephesians reveals a lot of his schemes. He uses disunity. He uses sin. He uses false teachers. He uses sufferings. He uses discouragements. This is a personal battle. Let's look at it this way. Satan is coming after you, and he's coming after me. And one of the most effective strategies he uses is he distracts Christians into focusing on personalities instead of the real problems. Verse 11, it says, our hand-to-hand contest isn't against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not against people, but it's against rulers, authorities, powers, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is a spiritual problem. In other words, all the problems that we're seeing today is spiritual. And Satan is using these people to do his dirty work. So we're living in a world right now where we are focusing our hatred on a politician that we don't like. I got a couple politicians up here, and I tried to find the kind of stuff that is going around. This is what's going around. People hate, and these are the two people that they either hate or love. As much as you don't like the one on the right, some people love her. Some people think she's adorable. And as much as you might like the guy on the left, some people hate him and they can't stand him. But that's the problem. See, we're focusing on people instead of Jesus. So don't get distracted by the politician that you hate. Don't get distracted by people in your life. It may be somebody on the job. It may be somebody in your life that's mean to you, that's unfair, that's hateful to you. Don't fixate your energy on them, because they're just being used as a pawn of the devil. If the devil gets you to focus on them instead of the Lord, then he's won the battle. Look at Ephesians 6. Actually, yeah, Ephesians 6:16 says, "Take up the shield of faith, so we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." The devil is going to personally attack you. And how is he going to do that? He's going to use people. He's going to use governments to say and do things to try to get us to abandon the Lord, or to get us so angry at people. And I think this is one of the purposes of the media today. They want you to get so angry at people that you stop focusing on the attention on the Lord and on what's really happening here. We have to know our real enemy. Our real enemy is not somebody in Washington, D.C. Our enemy is not the neighbor that's bothering us today. Our enemy is the devil. So how do we take our stand? How do we fight against the devil? How do I defend myself against the devil? And how can I rely on the Lord's strength? Well, the third essential, we must know how to use the weapons that God has provided us. To be clear, this passage assumes that every Christian is a soldier for the Lord and is active in battle. So where does the battle take place? The battle takes place in our everyday life, in the daily choices that we make. And He's given us weapons to use. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. When you accept Jesus, when you become a Christian, He provides weapons to you. And so Paul uses the complete outfit of the Roman soldier as an illustration for the armor that God gives us. So the Roman soldier was covered from head to toe with various pieces of armor. And he was protected and he was covered by this armor. So when a Christian puts on the full armor of God, they're going to be able to stand their ground when they're attacked. But the key is, we must put these things on. This is so important. We must put them on. God's given us all this armor, but it's like it's sitting at our feet. We have to take these things and we have to put them on. We have to choose to wear them. God's given us everything we need, but if we don't use the weapons He provides us, we're going to be defeated. So today, let me look quickly at seven weapons the Lord provides us for battle. The first weapon is the belt of truth. So I just want to encourage you to hold open your Bible, and we're going to look through these different scriptures here. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." All of these items, ironically enough, are listed in the way that they would be put on. So the very first thing that was put on was the belt. And the belt was pulled tight, and it helped to keep the breastplate. You look at this picture here, you'll see the breastplate. The belt helped keep that breastplate in place. And the scabbard, which held the sword, was attached to the belt. And the bottom line is, when you think about the truth, if you don't have the truth, you don't have anything. The truth holds everything together. And Satan's main line of attack is deception and lies. So today, our problem is we can't trust anything we read. There's nothing reliable out there. There's all kinds of media out there, and what they're doing is they're giving us information overload. But Jesus said it simply, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus is the truth. He's faithful. Everything hinges on Him. Jesus is the living truth. So here's the deal. If you really know Jesus, if you're really following Him, then you have the belt of truth. The second weapon is the breastplate of right living. Verse 14 says, "With the breastplate of righteousness in place." The breastplate covered the neck to the thighs. You can see it right up here. It protected all the vital organs, especially the heart. It was usually made out of bronze. But if you had a lot of money, you could have one that was made of chainmail. A Christian knows that they're not righteous on their own. Jesus is only righteous. When we know Him, His righteousness covers us, and our lives show it because we live right. Our character, our integrity, God's righteousness protects us, and it's shown by the choices that we make. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, we have become His righteousness. The third weapon, boots fitted with the gospel of peace. Verse 15 says, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So what do shoes have to do with battle? That really doesn't sound like a weapon. So I have called them boots, because I think it sounds a little more military-like. But think about this now. We've all had a pair of shoes that did not fit good, right? You remember wearing these shoes, you wear them out, and what happens? Your feet end up hurting. And you have a hard time walking around because your feet hurt so bad. It's important to have good-fitting shoes. Without shoes, you can't even stand. Well, Christians, we stand on the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that brought peace. And that's what we can stand on from the devil's attacks. Now, from what I've read, the Roman soldiers' footwear was thick. It had sharp nails in it, protruding out of them. And this was a key to their military success. And because of their footwear, they could make these long marches through rough terrain. So Christians, when we know the gospel, when we stand on it, we're going to be unstoppable. We stand ready to tell the world what Jesus has done. We tell them what He did on the cross. We tell them He rose again. We tell them He died for us. If we're attacked, we won't break down, because we are standing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fourth weapon is the shield of faith. Look at verse 16 of Ephesians 4. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of the Roman soldier was two layers of wood that were glued together, covered with linen and animal hide, and bound together with iron. For the Christian, we have a shield too. Our shield is our faith, which is not just what we believe, but it's what we put into action. Faith is an action word. These shields were big. They were about 4 foot by 2 foot. Big shields. Enemies of that era would dip their arrows in pitch and light them on fire. And they would shoot those arrows at the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldier would use their shield, and those arrows would hit the shield, and they would extinguish when they hit the shield. That's how the shield worked. And this verse to us tells us that we're going to be attacked by the devil. But when our best defense is to have a living faith, if we are holding on to what the Bible says, if we really believe it, if we really live it, then we have faith. Now, I know you're probably thinking, wow, this doesn't really sound like a good position to be in here. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. But this is a picture of the Christian life. This is how the Christian life is. At times, it's going to feel uncertain. At times, it's going to feel overwhelming. Sometimes, all you have is faith, and nothing else makes sense. But that faith, that living faith, will carry you through. God has given us weapons for battle. The fifth weapon is the helmet of salvation. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation. So when a soldier had all of his armor put on, there was two items left that somebody had to hand him because he couldn't put them on his own. One thing is he had to be handed the helmet. The helmet, the head would be the most vulnerable part of the body. The helmet was made of bronze. It had leather attachments. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the helmet is called the hope of salvation. That means the devil is going to attack a person's salvation. Salvation is, remember that decision that you made for Jesus when you came forward and you made it, you confessed Jesus, you had repented of your sins and you were baptized, and you made that decision. Well, the devil's going to attack that decision that you made because you were saved. And he's going to get you to doubt your salvation. He's going to tell you, listen, you're not really saved. You blew it. You messed up. What kind of Christian are you? It's going to cause people to doubt their salvation. But assurance, salvation is an assurance that we hold on to. No matter what we face, John wrote Christians in 1 John 5:13. He says, I write these things to you who believe so that you may know that you have eternal life. Nobody can take your salvation. The devil cannot take your salvation. The devil cannot take you out of God's hands. So far, all the weapons that I've mentioned are all defensive weapons. They protect us from attack, except the next weapon. The next weapon is the only offensive weapon when it comes to this armor that's mentioned here. The sixth weapon is the Word of God. Look at verse 17 of Ephesians 6. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Like the helmet, this would be handed to the soldier. Now, this wasn't a long broadsword. A long broadsword is a really long sword. That's not what we're talking about here. The sword here was the short double-edged blade. If you look here, you'll see the short sword. Ideal for cutting. Ideal for thrusting in confined places. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Spirit speaks through the Word. In Paul's time, it was the Old Testament. This can be any use of the Word of God, spoken, written. And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and the devil tempted him, he responded with Scripture. Now today we rely on all sorts of sources for truth. We rely on trusted news sources. We rely on medical professionals. We trust in conventional wisdom. We trust in what the courts say is right. But the Christian relies, and they use battle, with the Word of God. That's the Bible. It's interesting that the Bible is compared to a sword. And this is in Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. That's why the Christian commits verses to memory. Because they're going to need those verses from time to time when they're under attack. So you would think that of all the weapons I mentioned today, that you'd have everything you need. When you have the truth, you have right living, you have the gospel, you have faith, you have salvation, you have the Word of God. But believe it or not, despite all these things, sometimes those things are not enough. That's why we look at the seventh weapon, which is prayer. Look at verses 18 through 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Now, I think that prayer is the most underestimated and least used of all the weapons. How many people really pray? How many people really pray every day? Now, technically, it's not really listed as a weapon, but I've included it because it functions that way. Prayer is not only an offensive weapon, but it's a defensive weapon. Prayer is constant. Christians keep praying day by day, every opportunity. We're in a continual state of prayer. We may stop and get busy with something, but we can flow right back into praying again. We pray for other Christians. This requires us to stay alert. Verse 18 says, always keep on praying for God's people. We pray and people's names come to our mind. We lift them up to God. Even Paul knew that he needed prayer here. He asked that he be given the words. He said, pray that I'll get the words, that I'll speak fearlessly. Some people are too proud to ask for prayer. You don't have to be too proud. Ask for prayer. Ask for prayer. Ask fellow Christians what you need. Ask people to pray. Don't be ashamed to ask for prayer. It helps. It works. Even the Apostle Paul knew he needed prayer. Do you remember Jesus? In his greatest, most excruciating test of going to the cross, in Matthew 26:39, it says he fell with his face to the ground and prayed three times. He poured his heart out to God, and eventually he found strength and resolution to face the cross. Prayer strengthened him. That's why I call prayer a weapon. So when I look at the world today, am I afraid? When I look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. and all the terrible legislation they're passing, am I afraid? Am I afraid about people that may want to harm me? Am I afraid of those things? No, because I'm in an army. Now, my weapons are not ammunition and firearms, and I'm not equipped with any survival food or supplies. But my focus is not on these things. My focus is on the daily spiritual battle. My weapons are spiritual, and I use them every day. So does it work? Does it really work? Yes, it really does. God's given us everything we need, and He's given us weapons. Let me just tell you how these weapons work. For years, there was an area in Ethiopia that struggled with famine. And there was a tribe that World Vision decided to try to help. So they started working with this tribe, and they discovered that there was a huge tree right in the middle of the village. And it was growing and had been there for generations, and the villagers assumed that a spirit had helped this tree and had given this tree divine powers. So villagers were worshiping this tree, the adults would walk over and they would kiss this tree. And whenever they talked about the tree, they would talk about the tree in a reverent way. Children said, "The tree saved us." In 1989, World Vision started a development project in which they were going to build an irrigation system to help this tribe. But that old tree that was like a forbidden sentinel enslaved this whole community in fear. So the villagers would actually make animal sacrifices to this tree. And they did special worship for this tree. World Vision knew that that tree was a barrier to the kingdom of God and to being able to help this community. So one morning the staff was gathering together to pray, and someone read the scripture from Luke 17:6. It said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted, planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." So in faith, these workers began to pray that God would bring down this menacing giant. And soon everybody knew about, in this village, they knew that Christians were praying for this tree to be removed. 6 months later, the tree began to die. It dried up. Its leaves fell off. And it collapsed like a sickened giant in the river. And people were astonished. And they told the Christians, "Your God has done this." In the coming weeks, about 100 people accepted Jesus as their Savior in response to what they had seen happen as a result of prayer. This is spiritual warfare. This is how it happens. This is what it means to put on the full armor of God. This is what it means to pray. And notice that they had to pray 6 months. It could be longer. But this is how you live your life on a daily basis. This is how the church is going to be victorious. Our weapons come from the Lord. And it starts in a daily battle. The daily battle that we have for Him. So let me ask you, how are you doing in your daily battle? Are you feeling stressed? Are you feeling discouraged? Are you being faithful to God? Are you being true to the salvation that you chose? Do you still have hope? Do you find strength in the Word of God Do you still have prayer time? You know, I think that Christians are so often stressed and discouraged by everything that's happening in their life, they forget that God has given them weapons. And they just need to use them, and they need to find that new strength from God. Maybe you need to find that strength for what you're going through. Because I know life can be overwhelming. It can be discouraging. Jesus has given you all the help you need. If you're a Christian, you're a part of the Lord's army. If you're not a Christian, then you have that invitation to be a part. I think what we need to do is just be reminded that we are a spiritual army for the Lord, and to use the weapons He's given us. And to remind us of that, we're going to be singing this old controversial hymn, Onward, Christian Soldiers. Let's all stand as we sing.